There's nothing new under the sun. There are many people who claim to follow Jesus, who claim to have eternal life. They claim the promises. But if you believe in the Lord, you're saved, right? They claim the actual word of God and the promises, but they live like hell. Are they going to go to heaven? Is someone who blatantly lives like hell and claims to follow Jesus, are they going to go to heaven?
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, in today's message, we see something that's rather shocking.
Yes, we will, Dave. And what is it? Well, let's turn our Bibles together to Ezekiel chapter 33, starting with verse 21 to find out.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Look at chapter 24, verse 25. See, God does what he says. Middle 25, in chapter 24, middle 25, when I take from you the stronghold and the joy of their pride, the desire of their eyes and their heart's delight and their sons and daughters, it's saying when God destroys the temple and their pride and takes their children and the day those escape. He says, verse 26, that on the day he who escapes will come to you with information for your ears. On that day your mouth will be opened to him who escaped and you will speak and be dumb no longer. Thus you will be a sign to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. So this opening of his mouth is in fulfillment of what God has said. So the day's come. Jerusalem's fallen, the people have come, and Ezekiel's mouth, after a heavy night, is opened up, and he is no longer dumb. For 8 years, he could only speak exactly what God had said. And now his mouth is opened. He says, I was no longer speechless. So now, in this transition here, we're going to see now that the Lord warns some of these survivors. We're going to see at this point through Ezekiel, he's going to warn those who are still in the land, but now in the desolation, desolate places. They've escaped, but they're not exiles. He's also going to warn the exiles. And this is a foundation for what we're going to see later on. So notice, in verse 23, the Lord calls upon Ezekiel, the watchman, to address the self-deceived that are still in the land. To address the self-deceived. Those who think they can hold on to God's promises and just openly continue in sin without conviction, just doing it and not caring, okay? Verse 23, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, they who live in these waste places in the land of Israel are saying Abraham was only one, yet he possessed the land. So to us, we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood in it. You lift up your eyes to your idols as you shed blood. Should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations. Each one of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you possess the land? Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in waste places will fall by the sword. And whoever is in the open field, I will give to the beast to be devoured. And those who are in the strongholds and caves will die of pestilence. And I shall make the land a desolation, a waste. And the pride of her power will cease. And the mountains of Israel will be desolate so that no one will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I make the land a desolation and a waste because of their abominations which they have committed. Wow. There's nothing new under the sun. There are many people who claim to follow Jesus, who claim to have eternal life. They claim the promises. That if you believe in the Lord, you're saved, right? They claim the actual word of God and the promises, but they live like hell. Are they going to go to heaven? Is someone who blatantly lives like hell and claims to follow Jesus, are they going to go to heaven? So notice, he reveals the mindset. This is the group of people who have escaped that siege. They haven't been exiled and they haven't been slaughtered, but they're in the waste places and they're going to fall. But they have an attitude as if Abraham, who the promises were through, he was just one person and he inherited the land. We are many. How much more for us? They're claiming promises that don't apply to them. The word of the Lord came to me saying, he says, Son of man, verse 24, they who live in these waste places in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, yet he possessed the land. So to us are many and the land has been given to us. as a possession. This is amazing. Jerusalem has fallen after a brutal siege, which they have witnessed. Jeremiah has prophesied over and over again they need to repent, that it was coming. The false prophets say, no, it's not, peace and safety, but it came. Many people slaughtered, the temple destroyed, and these people are still saying, hey, we're going to inherit the land. Abraham was one, and you fulfilled your promise to him. We're many. Of course you're going to fulfill your promise to us. It's our land. It's, again, they're claiming a promise, but yet God's going to point out they're claiming a promise and ignoring the reality they're living in continual habitual rebellion. If you live in rebellion to God and you claim his promises, they don't apply to you. We're going to see that. Because you need to have a changed heart. Yes, we sin. Yes, we're tempted. Yes, we mess up. But we don't want to do that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You're not there. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. You're not there, but you want it. You want to be like the Lord. So here, this is insanity. They think because they're more than one, giving Abraham an illustration of his faithfulness to his promises, God's faithfulness, that by virtue of that, they're going to possess the land. They are self-deceived. Nothing could be further from the truth. They're going to be judged. They're self-deceived. And there are many people, I believe, who say they're believers. And I'm not telling you to run out there and be a fruit inspector. I'm not telling you to go look at other people's lives and say, oh yeah, I know that one. Oh, no, that one. Oh, they don't look like it. Forget that. Examine yourself. And if you're in the faith, praise the Lord. If you're not, trust in the Lord. Believe in him. Repent of your sin. Be saved. So he's saying they think they possess eternal life. They're going to have the land, ultimately, that promised land. And he says, basically, it's not going to happen. You think you can have it when you continue in sin? Look at verse 25. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, you eat meat with blood in it. So that's a covenant violation. God had given certain ceremonial rules in the old covenant, and they were to set Israel apart. There's nothing special about it. But they were to set them apart from the nations. They were a picture of someone that was set apart. And then they had the sacrificial system, which pointed to the need of a sacrifice. And so here, they're in disobedience to the law. Lift up your eyes to your idols. You shed blood. That's not good. Should you then possess the land? What's the implied answer? Of course not. You think you're going to live in the promised land God said you would have and you would be blessed in if you obeyed and ejected if you were cursed if you were disobeyed and ejected? And he says here, you rely on your sword. That means you rely on your strength, not God, the implication. You commit abominations. That doesn't sound good. And each of you defiles his neighbor's wife, this sexual sin. Should you then possess the land? The answer is no. No. So Ezekiel is to be a faithful watchman. And again, he shares these things that speak of their flagrant disobedience. So they're claiming the promise of God. We are going to have the land, and yet they're living like hell. And I'm not talking about messing up and sinning. We all sin. We've all sinned. We all do sin. But I'm talking about flagrant disobedience without conviction, living a life of hell and claiming the promises of God. Should you possess the land? No way. You know, we see this throughout the New Testament that God is gracious to address the self-deceived also. I want to share some passages. You can turn there with me or you can hear and listen to them. Either way is fine. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says in verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Hey, if you are not saved and you are identified by your sin, which is you're obviously continually habitually in, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're not changed. Something's wrong. But notice this wonderful statement. And such some of you were. Some of these Corinthians were, and they got saved. It says, some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. Then Ephesians chapter 5, let me share this also. Ephesians 5, there's a lot in the New Testament. Verse 3, but do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper saints. There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral, impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let No one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It's very clear. There's a lot of churches out there that say, come as you are, and they say, stay as you are. You're just fine. Well, no, we all come as sinners, but when we hear the gospel, we get convicted and we realize we are in bondage and we need a Savior to deliver us, and He will deliver us. He'll set us free if the Son has set you free. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. The Son has set you free. You're free indeed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. I'll read this. Little children, let no one deceive you. Notice it's deception. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Practicing means you're doing it all the time. And you like it. You know, when our kids practiced for football, they played and they did it over and over again. They did it over and over again, based over and over again. And they liked it. They did it over and over again. If you practice, it speaks of continual habitual sin. We all sin. But it's a continual habitual sin without conviction in this context here. He says here, practices sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. But by this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. And that's the context there in that book, is love. And so, yes, he's not talking about sinlessness, because in the very beginning of the book, he said, if we say we have no sin, we're liars. He's talking about a changed heart that desires to do what is right, and by and large does so, versus one who's not changed, who does wrong and continues in it. Okay? I read this earlier, but 1 John 2, verse 3, and by this we know we've come to know. If you want to know if you've come to know Jesus, 1 John 2, verse 3, if we keep his commandments. Now, this is just right after he said, hey, these things I've written, that you would not sin, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? And so he says here, and we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments, or his commands, right? The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in him. And his commands certainly were to love him and to love one another, right? To have his heart towards one another, to be changed. And there are many truths that we see. So then our passage is saying, in essence, you sit it up and you think God's going to give you the land? No way. What did Jesus say to the cities that saw the most of his miracles? They saw all kinds of miracles. What did he say to them? Matthew 11:20, then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. You see, repentance is a change of mind, and a true change of mind has a change of action, change of direction. It's a turning to God. It's a recognition that I am worthy of God's judgment because of my sin. I'm stuck in it. I'm a prisoner. Lord Jesus, set me free. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. So let me tell you this. If you are one of those 65% that say you are saved and you're going to heaven because God's word says so, and you live like hell, I would examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. I don't know your heart, but as I look at these passages, don't be deceived. Those who are identified by their sin because they continually habitually do it are not saved. For you know this with certainty, that no immoral or impure person, covetous man who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Some of you have believed that you just add Jesus. There's a lot of churches out there. Hey, just stay the way you are. Just add Jesus and you'll be fine. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose. And Jesus calls upon us to repent, Luke chapter 24, that we would be forgiven. So then back to our passage. God says twice, in light of their sin, should you possess the land? He said it twice. The obvious answer is no way. You are self-deceived. Self-deceived. These are good passages to help people. You might have relatives or friends that are in terrible churches that they think they're saved. They've been coddled into a false security and they're continuing their sin. They've never been changed by Jesus. that you can graciously show them if they're willing to look at it and graciously allow the Lord to beckon them to repent and believe. So notice, instead, back in our passage, they're not going to inherit the land, but they're going to be judged. Verse 27, thus you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as surely as I live, those who are in waste places will fall by the sword. By the way, they've had ample time to repent. God has sent prophet after prophet. They stoned him and killed him, by the way, that's what Jesus said. And Jeremiah has been there for the same time Ezekiel's been there in the exiles. They've been telling them, repent. God doesn't take any pleasure. Just repent, repent. Turn to the Lord before it's too late. Well, these people saw it and they still have this attitude. He says, in waste places will fall by the sword, and whoever is in open field, I will give them to the beast to be devoured, and those who are in the strongholds in the caves will die of pestilence. And I shall make the land a desolation and waste, and the pride of her power will cease, and the mountains of Israel will be desolate, so that no one will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I make the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations which they have committed. He says, as I live, God is swearing upon his own existence. Thus says the Lord, as I live, the self-existent one. He says, surely those in the waste places, they're going to fall. Either by swords or beasts or pestilence. Those who initially escaped judgment and are now saying, hey, we're going to inherit the land. He said, no, they're not. They're going to be have death by sword, beast, and pestilence. And in that, they're going to know that the Lord is the Lord. You know, let me remind you of what the Lord said earlier in this chapter. We need to continue to remind ourselves of this. He said in chapter 33:11, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, they would turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? What a gracious God. So, yes, he's bringing their judgment physically and, we'll see, eternally. But he doesn't take pleasure in it. They've had ample time. And they are self-deceived. And maybe you're self-deceived. Turn to the Lord before it's too late. He takes no pleasure in judging. I read this passage earlier in Psalm 7, but it talks about if a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. God gives people time to repent. Where has your self-deception taken you? Some people are self-deceived. They're claiming the promises of God. They're saying this is what the gospel says. They're claiming it, and they're living like hell. Do you think you're going to inherit eternal life? If that's the case, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he shall reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption. The one who sows from the Spirit reap eternal life. Jesus said that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Luke 24:47. One other passage. Turn to Luke chapter 13. So basically, Pilate, the bad guy, had slaughtered some people and mingled their blood with sacrifices. It was a real abomination to the Jews. And some were coming to Jesus saying, do you hear what happened? Do you hear what Pilate did? And they're wanting Jesus' reaction. And this is his reaction, Luke 13. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will also all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that the 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This is a passage that causes us to guard our judgmental attitudes when tragedy falls on someone. Some tragedy happens, like here, the tower falling on those people, and you say, oh, they're horrible sinners. That must have been because of that. Well, no, Jesus brings it down to one common denominator. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And notice the result of this judgment. The result is after they're dead, by the way. He says, I'm going to bring this judgment on sword, pestilence, and beasts. They're going to die in the field. And what's the result after that? Then, verse 29, they will know I am the Lord. You see, they would say they followed the Lord. Lord, Lord. They would say they followed the Lord here. We're going to inherit the land. But then when they fall in judgment, they're going to know for sure he's the Lord. And when I make the land of desolation and waste because of all their abominations which they've committed, verse 29, then they're going to know. We've seen this throughout the book of Ezekiel. It's a theme over 63 times the knowledge of the Lord, then they'll know. And there are two ways in which you can know that Jesus is the Lord. First is through the first coming of Christ who redeems the repentant sinner. And then we know he's Lord. We bow. We obey his word. Okay, he says this. Okay, I want to obey you, Lord. I struggle. I fail. I'm wrong. I agree with you. I agree, and I want to do the right thing. The other way mankind knows he's the Lord is through judgment. And the scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus warns us about these bad churches, bad prophets that trick people into thinking they're saved. And people willingly do so because they continue in their sin. They like it. They choose for themselves people like this. Jesus warns us about this. Turn to Matthew 7. He doesn't want you to fall in judgment. He doesn't want you to. He takes no pleasure in that. He doesn't want that. Matthew 7. But as I read this, if it's bothering you, praise the Lord. Maybe it's convicting you. Praise the Lord. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They come to you in shepherd's garb, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. You'll know the false teachers by their fruits. When you see people that live like hell, that's the fruit of false teaching. Live like hell and think they're saved. And notice what he says right after this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. We're going to see that when you get saved, Christ enables you to do the right thing. Not perfectly, but he enables you to do it. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name, perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You practice sin. Maybe some of you here listening today have prayed a prayer, believe the promise of eternal life, and yet your life has not been changed. Your heart hasn't been changed. Well, today is the day of salvation, and God is gracious. He loves you, and he cares for you, and he takes no pleasure in your death, and in your judgment. He wants you to be saved, therefore repent. That's acknowledging, yes, what I'm doing is sin. The way I've lived is sin. I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I need you to save me from my sins. And I believe if I trust in you, I will be delivered from my sins. Lord Jesus, save me. And guess what? If you truly get saved, you're going to have a changed heart and you're going to have the Spirit of God. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to have a desire to obey. And his commandments are not burdensome.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, you talked about some important truths that many of us are uncomfortable with.
Yes, Dave, and that important truth is what we've seen in Ezekiel, that you can't claim the salvation promises of God and live like hell. You see, if you've truly been saved, there's going to be a change in your life. You're going to be grieved over your sin. And yes, we fail here and there, but when we fail, we're grieved and we don't want to. We want to be more like Jesus. And so with this in mind, if you're one of those people who believes that you're saved because you prayed a prayer or raised your hand and yet your life has not changed, I would encourage you to examine yourself to see if you're truly in the faith, because God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that you would repent and live.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.